Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.
What's the creepiest thing a bride did just to make sure her groom could never leave her? Story 1. I worked with a guy named Jared who always looked haunted. One night, after way too many drinks at a work retreat, he told me why. His wife, Miranda, started acting strange a few months before their wedding. She insisted on doing ancestral bonding rituals she read about online. Jared went along with it. He thought it was just some new age stuff. On the night before the wedding, she blindfolded him and made him repeat a vow in Latin while she pricked both their thumbs and mixed their blood in a silver bowl. He thought it was just symbolic, but after they got married, he started having blackouts, waking up in random places, dreams of her whispering in his ear in that same Latin. His phone never kept charge, no matter the brand. If he tried to leave town for work, something bad always happened. Flights canceled, cars breaking down. He tried to confront her, but she'd just smile and say, "We're soulbound now. You promised in blood." He divorced her, legally, but he still wears a bracelet she gave him. Claims he gets violently ill if he takes it off. Story 2. My cousin Ethan married a girl named Bella. Sweet, quiet, old money kind of rich. But before the wedding, Bella made Ethan sign a private marriage covenant. Her family lawyer drew up. It wasn't a prenup. It was a behavioral contract. Things like, if Ethan does not reply to a text within 10 minutes, Bella may enter his workplace unannounced, and Ethan may not travel more than 10 miles without Bella's verbal consent. We laughed it off, said it was a joke. It wasn't. 3 months in, Ethan tried to take a solo camping trip to clear his head. Bella tracked him with a hidden GPS she'd sewn into his hiking boots. When she found him, she brought two men with her. He came back with a black eye and never spoke of it again. He's still married to her. Changed his phone number. Moved across the state. But Bella shows up always. Somehow, she always knows where he is. Story 3. I dated a guy whose brother, Matt, married a woman named Danielle. Beautiful, smart, totally magnetic, but off. After the wedding, Matt started feeling watched in his own home. He found tiny black dots in the walls, pinholes. Turns out Danielle had installed micro cameras all over the house, even in the toilet tank. She said it was to preserve their love in all its forms. When Matt confronted her, she started crying, saying she just had separation anxiety and couldn't bear not knowing everything he did. She refused therapy. Instead, she built a confession booth in their garage. Every night, she made Matt sit in it and talk about his day. Who he looked at, what he felt. Like a priest listening through a wall, he stayed for a year. When he finally left, she emailed him every day with time-stamped screenshots from hidden cams, still installed. She titled the emails, "Proof of Loyalty." He had to move to another country and change his name. Story 4. When I worked in wedding planning, I met a bride named Tiffany who wanted everything custom made, even the priest's robes. But what stood out most was her obsession with a rare perfume, one she had custom blended to bind her and her fiancé together. After the wedding, her husband Jack became strangely docile. He stopped speaking up in meetings, rarely smiled. We thought it was post-wedding burnout until his sister confided something chilling. Jack had found a diary Tiffany kept. In it were recipes, rituals involving herbs, oils, and something she referred to only as shadow petals, the perfume she'd worn. It was part of a ritual she said would make her husband smell no other. Jack never left her, but he doesn't look like Jack anymore, just a ghost with his eyes open. Story 5. I matched with a girl named Alyssa on Bumble years ago. We only went on 2 dates. She was funny, quirky, a little intense. But on the second date, she told me something that made me nope out fast. She said she had a plan to make sure her future husband never left her. She'd tattoo his actual heartbeat in Morse code across her ribcage. I thought it was a joke. But then she pulled up her shirt and showed me a fresh tattoo, still red and healing. I asked whose heartbeat it was. She said, "Oh, I record the heartbeat of every guy I seriously date. One of them will be the one. I just haven't picked which yet." I ghosted her. A year later, I got a wedding invite in the mail. No name, just a heart symbol and a venue. I didn't go. But ever since then, on the anniversary of our second date, I get a blank card in the mail with a tiny red ink print, shaped like a pulse line. Story 6. I was a bartender at a wedding where the bride, Kendra, pulled me aside during the reception and whispered, "If he ever tries to run, call me." I laughed, thinking she was drunk. But then she slipped a GPS tracker into my hand. "He'll probably ask for your help," she added. "He always trusts strangers." That night, I saw the groom, Lucas, sneaking out the back door. He was pale, shaking. I asked if he was okay, and he muttered, "I didn't sign the guestbook. I thought it was a weird joke." Months later, I found out the guestbook wasn't a guestbook. It was a legally binding document, a private agreement stating he consented to be filmed 24/7 for the rest of his life, under penalty of $500,000 in damages. Kendra had hidden cameras in their home, car, even his parents' house. She claimed it was to protect the sanctity of their marriage. Lucas hasn't been seen in over. Kendra still throws anniversary parties. Story 7. My college roommate, Ben, dated this girl named Rachel, who was into spiritual cleansing. I met her once and she hugged me for way too long, then whispered, "Your aura is too loud." Fast forward to their wedding. Everything was normal until the reception when Rachel announced she had a surprise. She brought out a glass jar filled with what looked like ash and feathers. She said it was a spell, one designed to fuse their destinies. Then she sliced a piece of her veil, mixed it into the jar, and made Ben eat a spoonful in front of everyone. He laughed nervously and did it. But after that, he changed. He started forgetting names, missing work, staring into space. His parents took him to a neurologist. No diagnosis. Rachel told them he was shedding his old soul to merge with hers. They're still married. Ben doesn't talk and just follows her around, smiling. Story 8. My friend Tracy went to a wedding where the bride, Leah, refused to wear white. She wore deep crimson and a necklace that looked like a glass vial filled with ink. During the vows, she didn't say, "I do." She said, "I bind you to me, body, breath, and blood." Everyone laughed, thinking it was gothic poetry. But the groom, Tyler, didn't laugh. His eyes darted like he didn't know what was coming next. Weeks after the wedding, Tyler's friends started getting weird texts. "If I disappear, check the garden." Then he really did disappear. Leah claimed he went on a retreat to reset his masculine energy, but she refused to file a missing persons report. Months later, one of the groomsmen broke into Leah's backyard. The entire garden had headstones, small ones, with names carved in bone. One said Tyler. When police investigated, they found nothing. Leah moved states. Nobody's heard from Tyler since. Story 9. My older brother dated a girl named Camilla for 6 years. She was kind, thoughtful, a little eccentric, but harmless. Or so we thought. Before the wedding, she insisted they do a couple's photo shoot in a cemetery. "To show our love conquers death," she said. After the wedding, my brother started getting migraines, then night terrors, then full-on fugue states where he'd disappear for hours and come back with no memory. We discovered she'd sewn something into his suit jacket. Pages from an old grimoire, folded into the lining. Latin script, ritual markings. She said it was a protection charm. But when he tried to get rid of the jacket, he vomited for days. She kept it in a glass case next to their bed. Told him he was safe as long as he never tried to leave. He finally ran. Checked into a hospital. She showed up hours later, with marriage certificates from 3 different countries. All valid. All with his signature. Story 10. I used to date a wedding photographer who told me this nightmare story. He was hired by a couple, Melissa and Grant. Melissa insisted every photo be taken on a film camera, no digital, and that she approve each negative before printing. After the ceremony, she made the photographer take photos of them in front of a massive painting of a forest. Then she took him aside and made him swear to destroy any photo where Grant wasn't smiling. Weeks later, Grant contacted the photographer directly, asking for copies. When the film was developed, one thing stood out. In every single picture, Melissa looked exactly the same. Exactly. Same posture, same smile, same gaze. Grant? He changed. Happy, sad, confused. But Melissa was static. Grant noticed too. He asked the photographer if he'd edited her face. He hadn't. 2 days later, the photographer's studio was broken into. All Melissa's negatives were gone. Grant stopped responding. Melissa? She booked the photographer again, for her next wedding. Story 11. My brother Jeff married a girl named Monica, who was obsessed with preservation. She kept journals of every date they ever had, saved his napkins, and even laminated the movie tickets from their first outing. Kinda sweet, right? Until the wedding. Instead of a first dance, Monica wheeled out a life-sized wax statue of Jeff, down to the scar on his eyebrow. She said it was her backup. Jeff laughed along with everyone else, until she told him that she'd also made a plaster mold of his teeth while he was asleep weeks earlier. After they married, she created a room in the basement labeled Jeff 2.0. Inside were replicas of all his favorite clothes, photos of his face at different angles, and even audio of his laugh played on loop. When Jeff confronted her, Monica said, "You don't get it. You're not just a person, you're my forever." He filed for divorce, but she refused to sign. Months later, he found a legal petition she'd drafted trying to trademark his face. Story 12. I was officiating a wedding for a couple named Dana and Chris. Dana was sweet, but extremely controlling. Every detail of the wedding was micro, even down to how people blinked in the group photo. During the vow...
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips, with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.
As Dana pulled out a red velvet box, inside was a ring made of her wisdom tooth. She told the crowd it symbolized giving a piece of herself to him. Chris froze but played along. That night, he confessed to me he wanted to call it off weeks earlier. But Dana kept saying, "Your soul and mine already agreed before this life." Things only got worse. She installed mirrors above their bed, not for what you'd think, but to watch for astral infidelity. Chris once tried sleeping on the couch. She burned sage in a circle around it and told him he'd be trapped there until he learned his lesson. They're still together. Chris has bags under his eyes now, like he hasn't slept in years. Story 13. My friend Marcus married a woman named Elise who believed in reincarnation. Deeply. Like built her whole life around it deeply. She told Marcus he was her husband in 7 past lives and that this one was the final union. On their wedding day, she brought out an urn. Said it contained ashes from their first wedding in 1327. She made Marcus smear a line of the ash on his forehead and swear never to break the cycle. We all thought it was weird theater, until Marcus started losing weight. Fast. Then sleepwalking. One night, he carved a medieval date into the wall above their bed, with no memory of doing it. When he tried to move out, Elise showed up at his office with a lock. Inside was a tiny fingernail, which she claimed was his from a former life. The kicker? It matched an old childhood injury of his that no one but his parents knew about. Story 14. My cousin Ron married a woman named Ivy, who had a background in software engineering. Before the wedding, she insisted they build a smart home together, from scratch. He thought it was romantic. They coded everything. Door locks, lights, fridge, thermostat. After the wedding, Ron discovered something strange. He couldn't leave. Literally. His phone would disable GPS the moment he tried to navigate away from their neighborhood. If he left on foot, the front door would lock behind him and refuse to open, even manually. Ivy would smile and say, "That's our house protecting us." Turns out she'd coded biometric locks based on their combined heartbeat rhythms. Only when they were touching would the home systems function normally. If he was more than 20 feet from her, the house treated him like an intruder. He had to fake a medical emergency and call 911 just to get out. She was arrested but later posted bail and keeps trying to reconnect the network. Story 15. Back in college, I had a professor whose wife would drop by campus constantly. She brought him coffee, cookies, love notes. It seemed sweet, until one night when I stayed late to submit a paper. I saw her sitting in his office, alone, brushing his combed hair into a Ziploc bag. He wasn't there. Later that semester, the professor had a breakdown mid-lecture. He burst into tears, screaming, "I can't think my own thoughts anymore." Turns out his wife had been playing audio tapes while he slept, recordings of her whispering affirmations. "You love me. You need me. You can't be without me." She called it emotional programming. When he tried to leave, she claimed she'd already sent out wedding announcements for their vow renewal to people he hadn't seen in a decade. He changed departments. She still sends cookies. Story 16. I once lived next to a couple, Amanda and Caleb. They seemed normal, until Caleb started showing up to work in the same exact outfit every day. Turns out Amanda had thrown away all of his clothes, except the wedding suit. She made dozens of copies. When asked why, she told him, It's who you were when you promised me forever. Caleb told me once that he tried to push back. She laughed and said, "That's not what husbands do." Then she took out a journal. In it were transcripts, verbatim, of everything he'd said to her for over 2 years. Dates, tone notes, corrections. She claimed it was to hold him accountable to his love. He tried leaving once. She showed up at his hotel with handwritten letters, each one addressed to his mother, friends, even his boss. Confessions she wrote as if from him, saying he was suicidal and delusional. He didn't leave again. Story 17. My uncle married a woman named Faith. She was quiet, polite, into genealogy and family traditions. After the wedding, Faith gifted my uncle a massive scrapbook labeled Our Bloodline. He thought it was cute, until he realized it wasn't their family tree. It was his, with annotations, medical records, old yearbook clippings, even death certificates of distant relatives. In the center was a lock of his baby hair. He had no idea how she got it. When he asked, she replied, "I needed to know all of you, every version." Then she started talking about editing the lineage. She got pregnant, but then miscarried, and started the process again and again. Doctors said she was forcing conception unnaturally. My uncle tried to leave. She told him she already submitted their DNA to a heritage archive that would combine their souls in future blood. She wasn't trying to have a child. She was trying to code one, a permanent fusion. Story 18. Back when I worked in IT, I was called to a mansion owned by a newlywed couple. The bride, Eleanor, said she needed help recovering deleted memories. I assumed she meant photos, but she pulled out a VR headset. She'd secretly filmed every interaction she ever had with her husband, including intimate moments, using micro cameras hidden in jewelry and buttons. Then she had a VR environment created where she could relive and edit their life together. She wanted to install AI patches to erase moments where he looked distant or uninterested. When I said I couldn't help, she smiled and said, "That's okay. I'll just train him to be better." A few months later, I got another call. Her husband had gone missing. When police searched the house, they found a new VR file labeled Final Simulation, Loyalty Lock. It showed her husband, blank-eyed, repeating, "I won't leave, I promise," on a loop. Story 19. I was friends with a guy named Jordan who married this girl, Mia. Artsy, free-spirited, deep into folk traditions. For their honeymoon, she took him to a remote mountain cabin. No signal, no electricity, just books, herbs, and one rule. He couldn't leave the cabin without her. He thought it was romantic at first, until he noticed weird chalk symbols near the doors. Mia said they were binding circles. Then she served him tea with a black flower floating in it. He got dizzy, couldn't move his legs for hours. She claimed it was the root of stillness. He escaped after 3 weeks, hiked barefoot for miles to get help. But she found him again, showed up at his job with a photo of the cabin, one he didn't remember taking. In it, he was smiling, holding a handwritten sign. "I chose this. I belong here." He doesn't talk about her, but he never goes near forests. Story 20. In my old building, there was a newlywed couple who kept to themselves, Elisa and Mark. She always wore gloves, even indoors. One day, the fire alarm went off. We all had to evacuate, and I ended up next to Mark outside. He looked pale, like he hadn't slept in days. He told me she'd been injecting him with love serum. At first, he thought it was a joke, just vitamins or herbal stuff. But then he noticed his memory slipping. He couldn't remember how long they'd been married. Couldn't recall his own sister's name. Elisa told him it was emotional pruning. He showed me a mark on his shoulder. Said she told him it was an access point for corrections. He disappeared a week later. Elisa claimed he'd gone to a silent retreat in the mountains. She still lives in that apartment, and sometimes I hear her talking through the wall. Always the same phrase, in a sing-song voice. "Say you love me again." Story 21. My brother's best friend, Troy, married a woman named Lillian, who had a fascination with antique music boxes. At first, it was charming. She'd collect them from estate sales and refurbish them. But after their wedding, she gave Troy a box she said was hand-carved for his soul. It played a melody he swore he'd heard as a kid but couldn't place. That box was always playing. She kept it wound up 24/7. He once unplugged it, and the next morning he woke up with a bleeding nose and a note taped to his mirror. "Don't silence what binds us." Then she started whispering lyrics to the tune in her sleep. Lyrics he never remembered her writing, but that always matched his recent dreams. When he tried leaving, the melody played without winding. Every time. Even when he smashed the box, the tune came from the walls. He stays now. He says the silence is worse. Story 22. I used to work at a call center and shared a cubicle wall with this guy, Andrew. Quiet guy, always nervous, constantly checking his phone. One day, after a panic attack, he confided something strange. His wife, Natalie, had set up a relationship insurance system. Basically, she bought multiple life insurance policies on both of them and set each other as sole beneficiaries. But here's the twist. Natalie fabricated medical conditions for Andrew, created fake doctors, even built fake medical portals. So if he ever tried to prove her wrong, the system would show he was delusional. When he finally tried to leave, she printed out a psychiatric referral and showed it to his employer. He was suspended for a week, then rehired with restrictions. She told him, "You're safest under observation." He's still with her, not out of love, just nowhere else to go. Story 23. My cousin Sam married a woman named Joelle, who ran a boutique taxidermy business. She'd make wedding keepsakes, like floral arrangements encased in resin or birds from a couple's favorite hike. Odd, but niche. After their wedding, Sam noticed she started collecting his things. Not shirts or trinkets, nails, hair, teeth from dental cleanings. She labeled them by date and sealed them in jars. He thought it was some bizarre art project, until she showed him a sculpture she was building. It was him, a 6-foot replica, covered in his own biological matter. "So I never forget how perfect you were when we started," she said. He tried to destroy it. She locked herself in the basement for 3 days and emerged calm, holding a new jar. "For the version of you that would try to erase our love," she whispered. "The sculpture stands in their bedroom now. Sam's lost weight, won't answer questions." Story 24. I met a girl named Sophie at a friend's wedding. She was smart, magnetic, a bit intense. I found out later she'd just gotten married herself. When I asked how it was going, she smiled and said, "I have him forever now." Literally. She told me she'd tattooed a QR code on her husband's chest. When scanned, it linked to a private cloud of every conversation, photo, and video they'd ever shared, including bedroom footage, family fights, therapy sessions. She updated it daily. She called it their emotional blockchain. If he ever left her, she said, the encryption key would unlock it for public view. Her husband, Ryan, once tried to remove the tattoo. His social media was wiped within hours. Job offers retracted. Friends ghosted him. Sophie smiled and said, "You agreed to transparency. I haven't seen Ryan since." Story 25. When I worked in property management, I handled a lease for a couple moving into a luxury apartment, Amber and Declan. Everything seemed normal until Amber insisted on customizing their door with memory metal locks and fingerprint access tied to emotional biometric patterns. I didn't even know that was possible. Turns out she had a device that recorded heart rate, voice tone, pupil dilation, all to track if Declan was emotionally committed when entering or exiting. If he wasn't, the door wouldn't open. She called it loyalty gating. One night, he had a panic attack trying to get in. The system flagged him as emotionally misaligned. He slept in the hallway. She left notes under the door saying, "When your heart is right, so will your key be." Eventually, he gave up and moved in with his brother. A week later, Amber locked herself inside and changed the system so only his emotional signature could unlock it. No one's been inside since. Story 26. I'm a tattoo artist. A couple, Lena and Jared, came in for matching ink right after their wedding. Jared looked uncertain, but Lena was animated. She'd designed the tattoo herself. Simple enough. A black triangle inside a circle. A few weeks later, Jared came back alone. Pale, jittery, said he needed it removed. I told him it was fresh and risky, but he was desperate. While we talked, Lena called. 10 times in 10 minutes. He didn't answer. When I asked what the rush was, he whispered, "It's a locator." Turns out the tattoo ink wasn't normal. It had some sort of embedded tracker linked to a private network Lena had coded. She could see his body temp, pulse, and location through a synced app she never told him about. He ran. She found him the next day at a motel and tattooed a second symbol onto his thigh while he was unconscious. This time with the words, "Only together. Always." Story 27. My neighbor Emily married a guy named Ross. They were quiet, kept to themselves. One night, I got a call from Ross asking if I could help jump his car. I walked over and saw him standing in the driveway, barefoot, holding a leash. At the end was a collar, with his name on it. He laughed it off, said it was a prank. But then Emily stepped outside and said, "He knows not to leave the yard without it." I thought she was joking. But then I saw the chain was electrified. Slight voltage, but real. Ross's wrists had faint burn marks. He never reported her. She worked in behavioral science and called it reinforcement intimacy. When I asked him why he stayed, he said, "Every time I try to go, she threatens to hurt herself. And then she says, I trained her to depend on me. I haven't seen him in weeks. The leash is still on the porch. Story 28. A guy in my friend group, David, married a girl named Sienna who claimed to be claircognizant. Said she just knew things. At first it was harmless. Predicting traffic, guessing texts. But it escalated fast. One day, she told David she knew he was thinking about leaving her. Not doing it. Thinking about it. She was right. He was planning to break things off after a family trip. Instead, he stayed, freaked out. It got worse. She started finishing his sentences, reacting to thoughts he hadn't said aloud. He asked how. She said she'd created a cognitive bond, some meditative routine she did nightly where she focused on his mental patterns. She claimed she could change his decisions before he even made them. Now he calls it psychic suffocation. He says he doesn't know where his mind ends and hers begins, but he's still there, still with her. Says he's too afraid of what she'll feel if he leaves. Story 29. I was at a wedding where the bride, Harper, made everyone sign NDAs. Guests, caterers, even the priest. She said it was to protect their unique rituals. Turns out, after the vows, she led the groom into a soundproof room for what she called soul calibration. The doors stayed shut for 4 hours. People waited awkwardly. Eventually, music started playing and they re-entered like nothing happened. But the groom was different. Not drugged, not hypnotized, just off. Like someone had rebooted him. Later, I found out Harper had developed a sensory deprivation process. She used light, sound, and neurological triggers to condition him. She called it soul mirroring. Said once done correctly, the two could never emotionally disconnect. Now, 2 years in, he flinches when someone says her name. He smiles too long, blinks out of sync. And she? She just stares at him like she's watching her creation breathe. Story 30. I used to volunteer at a memory care center. One resident, Mr. Talbot, wasn't supposed to be there. He was under 40, completely healthy. His wife, Mara, had checked him in herself. She said he had episodic amnesia, but he didn't, not medically. He could remember everything except her. Every morning, staff gave him a binder with their wedding photos and love notes. Every day, Mara would visit, reintroduce herself, and tell him their epic love story. I thought it was sweet until I saw her switch out the binder. New photos, different cities, different memories. She was rewriting his life, turning him into a new man, version by version. She told me once, "You can't leave what you never knew existed." He still doesn't remember. But now, every time he sees her, he whispers, "You feel familiar. I think I loved you once." And she smiles like she's won. Story 31. My friend Zach married a woman named Bree who ran a crystal healing shop. After their wedding, she made them both wear matching amulets for energetic alignment. Seemed harmless, until he started waking up with nosebleeds and blackouts. She claimed he was rejecting their fusion. She gave him a tea every morning that she brewed herself. He started losing weight. His memory fogged. He stopped hanging out with friends. We thought it was stress, until one day he showed me the ingredient list. It included Datura and moon-purified quartz powder. When he confronted her, she cried and said, "I'm just trying to help you feel everything I feel." She had even ground her own wisdom teeth into the mix, her way of sharing herself fully. He left for a week. She found him, sobbing, begging him to come back, holding a new amulet. "This one has my heartbeat in it," she said. "Now we'll always match." Story 32. I dated a guy once whose brother married a girl named Heather. She was obsessed with privacy. No social media, no family photos posted, no tagged locations. But it wasn't about fear of strangers. It was control. After their wedding, she insisted they delete every photo of his life before her. Childhood albums, prom pictures, vacations, gone. She called it resetting the timeline. Then she took it further. She reprinted their wedding photos and photoshopped herself into his old memories. Baby pics with her holding him, high school graduation, her in the crowd, framed and displayed like they'd always been together. When he resisted, she gave him a binder labeled The Real Story. It was a fake biography, her version of his life, rewritten from birth to marriage with photos, dates, and journal entries forged in his handwriting. He stayed for a while, eventually left. But she still runs a blog, publishing memories of a husband who never existed. Story 33. My cousin Blake married a woman named Naomi, who worked in scent design, perfumes, pheromone balancers, aromatherapy stuff. Her wedding gift to him was a cologne she called Bond Number, 0- custom made just for his chemistry. At first, he said it made him feel more confident, relaxed, but then it became addictive. He said he couldn't sleep without it. got nauseous if he didn't wear it, started panicking when it ran low. Turns out, Naomi had spiked it with a neurochemical blend that triggered a dependence loop. It wasn't just a scent, it was a behavioral anchor. When Blake stopped using it, he broke out in hives. Naomi told him it was love withdrawal. She controlled the supply, only gave him more when he promised to stay. After he tried to detox, she threatened to sell the formula to someone else, someone who deserved to feel that loved. He wears it again, every day. He doesn't look anyone in the eye anymore. Story 34. I'm a locksmith. One job still haunts me. A woman named Rena asked me to install a custom lock on her bedroom door with biometric fingerprint access. She was getting married soon and wanted a sanctuary. What she really meant was prison. She had me install a lock only she could override from the outside. She told her fiancé it was for safety, but a week after their honeymoon, he called me from a burner phone, whispering, said he hadn't left the bedroom in 3 days. She only let him out when she felt energetic trust had been restored. Food slid under the door. Speakers in the walls played affirmations in her voice. You are safest with me. You love only me. You fear the world. He begged me to disable the lock. I did. He ran. Rena showed up at my house 3 days later, smiling, said she was ready to reinstall it for her next chapter. Story 35. My friend's brother married a girl named Camille who believed in numerology, obsessed with numbers, fate, and divine patterns. Their wedding was on February 22nd at 2:22 p.m. She made the entire guest list add up to Life Path 6. After the wedding, she had him take compatibility tests daily. Mood, timing, word counts. If their answers didn't align by 86% or higher, she'd lock herself in the bathroom and cry for hours. Then she started altering his routines, changed his alarm tone to specific frequencies, timed his bathroom breaks to planetary movement charts, forced him to write daily affirmations that matched her predictions. He once said he felt like a lab rat. She replied, "Don't insult destiny." When he tried to leave, she showed him a spreadsheet of every decision he'd made since meeting her. All of it predicted years earlier in her journals. She held it like prophecy. He tore it up. She just printed a backup. Story 36. My cousin Jordan married a woman named Elise, who was obsessed with dreams. She kept a detailed journal of every dream she had and believed that if two people could share a dream, their souls were truly bonded. After the wedding, she began giving Jordan sleep tonics. She claimed they were herbal, chamomile, lavender, valerian, but over time he became unable to sleep without them. Then came the dreams. He'd wake up screaming, saying she was inside his head, manipulating the dream. One night, he woke up with scratches down his chest, letters etched into his skin spelling stay. He had no memory of doing it. She said they were dream words, proof their subconscious was speaking. When he stopped taking the tonic, the dreams got worse. She said that without it, their minds would desynchronize and he'd forget how to love her. He still takes it every night, but now he talks in his sleep, her voice coming out of his mouth. Story 37. I worked at a photography studio that offered legacy edits, blending couples into historical photos. One client, a bride named Veronica, took it too far. She brought in old black and white photos of wars, coronations, disasters, and had us insert her husband's face alongside hers like they'd lived and died together across time. One photo showed them holding hands on the Titanic. Another, as lovers in plague masks in the 1600s. It was eerie but artistic, until she requested an edit of them as corpses in matching caskets. She said it was to prepare their souls. After their wedding, her husband tried to cancel the order, said he'd never agreed to it. But Veronica claimed the images were sacred and already charged. The strangest part? Every time he tried to delete the files, his laptop glitched and restored them. Eventually, he stopped fighting it. She recently posted a new edit. It showed them at a funeral. His. She's smiling. Story 38. I was at a costume party when I met a guy named Evan, freshly married. He introduced me to his wife, Sierra. Elegant, soft-spoken, almost too composed. When she walked away, Evan leaned in and said, "She scares me. But in a hot way, I guess." Turns out, Sierra had enrolled Evan in a shadow bonding program. Basically, she hired a therapist to live with them for a month, observe their interactions, and document every microaggression Evan exhibited. At the end, Sierra presented Evan with a bound report titled Unspoken Betrayals. Every page was highlighted, annotated, cross-referenced with dates, moods, weather, and lunar phases. She said it was their marital audit, claimed she'd do one annually. That way, nothing builds up. The second year, Evan tried to refuse the audit. She locked him out of their shared accounts, called it emotional escrow. He finally agreed, said it's easier to comply than explain why your love isn't 100% efficient. Story 39. My uncle married a woman named Harper who was fascinated by languages, especially dead ones. Latin, Aramaic, Sumerian. She called them the true tongues of loyalty. For their vows, she made them memorize a passage in an unknown script she claimed was divine dialect. My uncle thought it was nonsense poetry. But after the wedding, he started having migraines every time he tried to say negative things about her. Even thoughts, he said, would bring on pain. He got an MRI. Clean. Therapist said psychosomatic. Harper just smiled and said, "Your body knows what your mind won't admit." One day, I overheard her whispering into his ear in that same strange language, over and over. He sat motionless, eyes wide. He doesn't complain anymore. Doesn't even speak much. Just nods when she talks. She says it's peace. But sometimes, when he thinks she's not looking, his hands tremble like he's trying to remember how to scream. Story 40. I once went to a wedding that doubled as an art installation. The bride, Lana, was an experimental filmmaker. For her wedding gift, she gave her new husband a short film she'd made over the past year, 365 Days of You. Every day, she secretly filmed him. While he slept, ate, showered, cried, even during private calls. The film had no narration, just shots of him, always watched. She said it was proof of her devotion, that no part of him ever existed without her noticing. He looked shell-shocked as it played. Afterward, she installed a projector in their living, played the film on a loop, said it was so their home would always remember him. He unplugged it once. The next morning, she'd taped a screenshot of him sleeping to every surface. Walls, fridge, bathroom mirror, with the words never off camera. They live in silence now, except for the projector still running. Story 41. I knew a guy, Kyle, who married a woman named Daphne, a tech startup founder. For their wedding, instead of rings, they exchanged digital contracts. She designed them herself. Encrypted vows uploaded to a blockchain. Kyle didn't really get it, but he signed. Afterward, Daphne said the contract wasn't symbolic, it was binding. It tracked his behavior using smart devices. His watch logged heart rate fluctuations during texts. His phone's mic monitored tone. Her AI analyzed it all for emotional fidelity. If the score dipped below 80%, an alert was triggered. Lights in their house would dim. His access to shared accounts would freeze. She'd sit him down and say, "Let's review today's deviations." He once unplugged the system. Within minutes, his car wouldn't start. She had remote overrides for everything. He still lives in that house. The contract renews every anniversary, automatically. There's no divorce clause, just termination codes she won't reveal. Story 42. My coworker's cousin, Arlo, married a woman named Navia. She believed in past life regression and convinced Arlo to undergo hypnosis therapy before the wedding, just to ensure compatibility across timelines. Afterward, he started having dreams. Flashbacks, visions of people he didn't know, places he'd never been. When he mentioned them, Navia said, "You're remembering our other lives. You're sinking." But the dreams weren't romantic. They were violent, trapped, smothered. In everyone, he died by her hand. He begged her to stop the sessions. She refused, claimed they were necessary to align their cosmic bond. She created a ritual room in their home, burned herbs, played recorded whispers of his own screams. Arlo moved in with his brother. A week later, he woke up with symbols carved into his back, same ones Navia used in her regressions. He has no idea how she got in, or if she ever really left. Story 43. My friend was a therapist who worked with couples. One client, Melody, came in with her husband, Darren, before their wedding. Melody insisted on weekly trust trials. She'd invent scenarios, text messages from fake women, lost jewelry, surprise phone calls, to test his reactions. Darren passed them all, thought they were over. After the wedding, Melody introduced the second phase. She called it emotional home invasion. She'd randomly change parts of their home, move furniture, swap his shampoo, change passwords to see if he'd confess confusion or mask fear. If he seemed disoriented, she said it meant he was hiding something. When my friend tried to confront her about the damage it was doing, Melody smiled and said, "You test a parachute before the jump, don't you?" Darren eventually left. She sent him a scrapbook of the trials, each with a grade, photo, and commentary like too slow to react to betrayal and lacked panic when phone was missing. Story 44. I knew this quiet guy, Isaac, who eloped with a woman named Cora. We barely knew her. After the wedding, he started distancing himself from everyone. Claimed Cora didn't like outside influence. Turns out she gave him a daily journal. But he wasn't allowed to write his own thoughts. Each morning, she provided prompts. How did I disappoint you today? Or, what fears do you need to surrender? She said it was for emotional transparency. If he hesitated or answered vaguely, she'd rip out the page, burn it, and make him rewrite it until it felt honest. She collected the notebooks, kept them on shelves, alphabetized by mood. When Isaac tried to leave, she mailed photocopies of his worst entries to his boss and parents. Once he'd written under pressure, pages full of shame, guilt, manipulated honesty, she told him, "You trusted me with your soul. I'm just returning it." Story 45. My cousin Olivia was a wedding planner. One bride, Fallon, requested a photo wall with images of her and the groom, Nate. From every phase of life, Olivia assumed it was a cute retrospective. But then Fallon sent hundreds of photos, some of Nate as a child, sleeping, even bathing. When asked where she got them, Fallon said, "I've always had access." Turns out she'd been watching him for years. She went to his school, joined clubs he was in, tracked his life from a distance before they ever met. When she finally introduced herself, Nate thought it was fate. She called it emotional surveillance. She believed love had to start with knowing everything, even what the person hadn't shared yet. After the wedding, she built a memory museum in their basement. Every item he'd ever owned or thrown away, preserved and labeled. Socks, receipts, chewed pencils. Nate left once. She found him and showed him a map of every place he'd ever hidden. Story 46. My old roommate James married a woman named Laurel who was obsessed with horology, specifically vintage clocks. Their wedding gift to each other was a 19th century grandfather clock she'd restored herself. Soon after moving in, James started noticing something strange. Every time they argued, the clock would chime. Not on the hour, not even regularly. Just when emotions spiked, then came the dreams. Always the same, Laurel holding the pendulum and whispering, "Tick wrong and I reset you." One night, the clock struck 13. James blacked out. When he came to, Laurel was standing over him with a notepad, taking notes on his reboot state. Turns out she'd rewired the entire mechanism to play sub-audible tones and synced it to biometric sensors embedded in their bed frame. She called it behavioral tuning. He left, she kept the clock, and a year later, sent him a voicemail that played nothing but that same impossible 13th chime. Story 47. I had a professor in college who suddenly stopped teaching mid-semester. We found out later his wife, Clara, had filed for power of attorney, claiming he was mentally disengaging from their bond. No medical condition. No evidence. But she came to court with a massive binder titled Emotional Neglect Patterns. It tracked every time he didn't answer her texts within 5 minutes, every evening he chose to read instead of cuddle, even the meals where he didn't compliment her cooking. She argued it was emotional abandonment, said she had the data to prove a psychic exit. What disturbed everyone wasn't that she won temporary guardianship. It was that she had notarized love letters, edited over time to include guilt triggers, notes from him, rewritten in her handwriting, claiming he owed her his entire life for saving him from invisibility. He now lives in assisted care, legally competent, just quiet, like he knows she's still watching. Story 48. My cousin Miles dated a girl named Taryn who collected miniatures, tiny rooms, dollhouses, dioramas. Cute at first, then obsessive. After their wedding, she started building a perfect replica of their apartment. Exact furniture, wallpaper, even down to the toothpaste brand. She'd position the dolls inside to match their real-life posture. If he was on the couch watching TV, so was his doll. One day, he noticed a tiny noose in the doll version of his closet. She called it a symbol of potential, said she was expressing the version of him that would try to leave. Every time he brought up travel or solo plans, the doll version of him would be missing limbs. He tried to destroy the dollhouse. She rebuilt it, said it wouldn't work if it wasn't accurate. Now he just plays along. I visited once. The dolls were smiling. Hers looked straight at me. Story 49. I worked security at a hotel where a couple held their wedding. The bride, Jasmine, was sweet, until she asked our team to disable all exit points for 3 hours after the ceremony. Said it was part of a symbolic binding. We refused. But during the reception, someone triggered the building lockdown. Cameras glitched. Doors wouldn't open. Jasmine gave a toast during it. She looked her husband in the eye and said, "If you love me, stay even when you can't leave." Turns out she'd bribed the tech staff to activate an emergency drill script. Guests were furious. But the groom? He was pale, silent. Later, we found out Jasmine had pre-written divorce papers for him. Filed, signed, and sealed. All it needed was a date. She threatened to mail them to his employer, family, and church if he ever left. He didn't leave. But the next year, he started showing up every day to the hotel bar, alone, asking if the doors here locked from the outside. Story 50. My friend Monica's brother married a woman named Celeste, who was an astrologer and claimed their souls were tethered by planetary contracts. On their honeymoon, she gave him a ring with a stone she said was charged during his birth eclipse. Then she had him record a voice message under full moonlight. She told him to say, "I bind myself to you across timelines." He thought it was a romantic keepsake. Later, he found out she was playing the message every night on a loop, hooked up to a device near his pillow while he slept. When he tried to turn it off, she told him that breaking the loop would fracture their cosmic connection. He moved out. A few months later, a package arrived. Inside was a bottle labeled Eclipse Residue and a note, "You still speak to me every night. I've just made it permanent." He doesn't sleep anymore. Says the dream started after that. Always of her. Always smiling. Story 51. I knew a guy named Trent who married a woman named Cassidy. She was a sculptor, quiet, deeply intense. On their wedding night, instead of going to the honeymoon suite, she took him to her studio. Inside were clay busts, dozens of them, all of Trent's face. Some smiling, some frowning, some broken. She said she'd been making one every week since.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.
Their second date. To capture each version of you I love so none can ever leave. At first, he was flattered, but she didn't stop. After marriage, she made daily busts. If he was late coming home or seemed upset, she'd create punished versions of him. Misshapen faces. Melted features. He once smashed one in anger. She didn't scream. Just stared and said, "That was the only one who still forgave you." He sleeps in a hotel now, but she mails him a new bust every Friday. The last one had no eyes. Story 52. My ex's cousin married a woman named Priya who was a sleep therapist. She was calm, brilliant, and way too invested in lucid dreaming. Before their wedding, she trained her fiancé, Alex, to co-dream through meditation and supplements. After the wedding, he stopped dreaming on his own. He told me it was like she was always there, no matter what he tried. When he had nightmares, she'd be there, smiling. When he tried lucid control, she'd block him, redirect his dream. She kept a journal by their bed where she recorded his dreams before he'd wake up. Claimed she could remember them first. He tried to stop taking the dream supplements. She started giving them to him without his knowledge, baking them into food, infusing them in lotion. Now he doesn't remember anything when he sleeps, but she does. Every morning she whispers, "You kissed me again in the dream. I love how faithful you are when your mind's most honest." Story 53. My coworker Ben married a woman named Evelyn who worked in marketing, specifically neuro-linguistic programming. At the reception, she gave a speech full of odd phrasing, "Always say yes to us," and "You can't imagine a world without me." Turns out she'd been priming him for months. Subliminal cues in text messages, specific color schemes around the house, words repeated in cadence to make certain concepts feel familiar. She even curated the books he read to reflect her values. When he started pulling away emotionally, she handed him a folder called You From My Eyes. It was a full personality profile based on years of observation, how he'd respond to every situation, pages of data on how to reset his loyalty. She told him, "I know you better than your parents. I can rebuild you if I have to." He left. 2 weeks later, he got a job rejection email with wording that matched her exact sentence structure. She's still in his algorithms. Story 54. When I was working as a legal assistant, a couple came in, Jasmine and Louis. They wanted to set up a trust fund. Jasmine insisted the trust be conditional. If Louis ever filed for divorce, his access to his own finances would trigger a multi-year lockout. The creepy part? She had already restructured his salary through joint investment firms before he signed the wedding license. And she had him unknowingly sign a second clause embedded in a document labeled honeymoon waiver. He only realized what had happened when he tried to buy a car without her. His accounts were frozen. Not by banks, by her software, tied to a behavioral pattern tracker. She said, "You said vows. I just built a world where you keep them." He lives paycheck to paycheck now. His actual income is growing, but inaccessible. She calls it financial fidelity. Story 55. I worked at a flower shop where a bride named Tessa pre-ordered her entire funeral setup alongside her wedding flowers. Same venue, same design, just darker tones. She said, "If he ever tries to leave, I want him to remember what forever really means." We laughed. She didn't. Her groom Ethan didn't know. After the wedding, she built a shrine in their attic. Candles, silk flowers, and a slideshow of imagined funeral photos of him mourning her. Every time they fought, she'd go up there and sit in front of it for hours. She once handed him a black envelope titled, "If you ever consider leaving." He never opened it, but said just holding it made him nauseous. One day he gave in and read it. Inside was a letter from future Ethan, describing the pain of losing her, the guilt, the funeral. It ended with, "You already survived this once. Don't fail her twice." He never brought up divorce again.